Welcome to the Art of Intentional Creation.
Hello. Today, our hearts wanted to talk about purpose. And so we listened.
Purpose. What a beautiful topic. You know, it's interesting because I feel like some of these topics can be so expansive. You know, to the point where they feel like they're really, really big topics. Too big, I think, in some cases to really be able to say, you know, hey, like, this is what this is. And more like an inquiry, more like what if we're going to ask a question like purpose, like what is purpose? It's like, how do we ask the question?
Oh, I like that. So what I hear you say is, instead of trying to define it, let's play with it and explore it.
Yeah. I think that's all you really can do with something as big as purpose. So yeah, let's do it. Where do we start?
All right. So let's start with a definition provided to you by Google search engine.
Yes. Okay. I have that right here. It says, purpose, used as a noun, it says the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. And the synonyms, which I really liked, a few of them to point out. One is motivation. So your purpose is your motivation. Your purpose is your reason. Your purpose is your justification. And using it as a verb, which is just a slightly different way of using it, it says one's intention or objective.
Okay, so literally the famous why.
Why do we
do what we do? What drives us? What is your why? The purpose, the reason why you do what you do.
Yeah.
How you design your life.
Yeah, the basis from which you basically the basis from which you ask any of the questions that you ask. It's kind of the first question in a way.
Okay. So there's many wisdom traditions and approaches to life. And, you know, some are spiritual, some are religious, some are not. So there are sources that believe that maybe there is no purpose, which is we are born and then we live and then we die and that's it, right? I think we agree that since we are about intentional creation, our approach is that there is purpose to life.
Yes.
So we are on the spiritual, religious side of world wisdom traditions that say, yes, life is purposeful.
Yes.
And it does mean something, and it doesn't matter how you live it, right? So if we agree on that, that there is a purpose to life, if so, what is it? Right?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's such a complex, big thing to tackle. So maybe let's start with what the sources of purpose could be.
Yeah.
Where does purpose come from? If there is purpose, where does it originate from?
Yeah, assuming that there is purpose, and of course, you know, art of intentional creation, I think we can, like you said, I think we agree there is purpose, or at least we're choosing to believe there is purpose. So if so, what is the source of that purpose? These are kind of building the inquiry into this topic. Okay, so I think that there's probably really two potential sources of purpose, two different ways to look at a source of purpose. And one would be that the source of our purpose is external to us in some way. But even in saying that, it's it's not so much that it's separate from us, but when I say external, it's like there's, it's something that we have to look for. It's maybe something that's bigger than us in some way, maybe something that's assigned to us or for us in some way. So mm-hmm. That's one potential source of purpose. And then the other would be that it's internal. Mm-hmm. It's something that I have within my conscious control to some extent.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think maybe by external, what we mean is maybe let's call it, quote, so-called external.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that, it's not that it's some separate entity that is entirely outside of us. It's more that we are a smaller part of something bigger.
Oh, well said.
And in that sense, it's external. So an example could be God. Like we are God. We are divine, right?
Yes.
In a human form.
Yes.
Right? But not the God that created the universe. Like the common image, I guess, of God, right? Or when we say the universe or the spirit or the higher self or the soul. So you know how people say that we are we humans having spiritual experience, or are we spiritual being having a human experience? It's that kind of discussion.
Yes.
With this so-called external.
Yes.
That's what we mean. Let's okay. say if you believe in reincarnation, that would mean that there is an immortal soul that takes on different lives, right? Therefore, in this life, my soul is me, Violeta. Mm-hmm. But that's not all it is. Mm-hmm. So yes, I am the soul, right? But the soul is something much bigger. And it was there before this form, I mean, and it will be after. That's what we mean by so-called external.
Okay. Yeah, very, very well said. So let's stick with this idea of it being external. I think the mm-hmm. next question is, if the source of our purpose is external in the way that you just described, then I think another question to ask would be, is it the same for everyone, or is it unique to the individual?
Mm-hmm. So if we use the definition of external as described, it would imply that this purpose was given to me to be discovered.
Ah.
It's sort of maybe like a mystery or a treasure to be found.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Assigned by, you know, the spirit, the soul, the universe, the higher self. Mm-hmm. And then if that's so, that like you said, is it my very unique, or is it kind of the same for everybody? And I think it's a combination of both.
Hmm.
I think that, you know, as human, we share, we definitely are more alike than different. Although ego wants us to be so unique and individualized, right?
Yes.
But, you know, I so often hear people say, oh, really? We all want the same thing. Meaning, we all want fulfilling relationships. We all want fantastic job with love. We all want wealth. We all want health. Right?
Yep.
We all want so-called happiness.
Yes.
So that's the universal aspect of it.
Yes.
Then the individual aspect would be, so what does happiness mean to you?
Right. Because what brings me happiness and fulfillment, it's still the emotion of happiness fulfillment, but the actual expression of that might be different than what it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Maybe, you know, maybe I'm all about skydiving, you know, and you're like, no, thanks. I want to, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest. I'm about skydiving. You more about knitting, but you know, I mean, still love you, you know?
Yes.
I want all you to about be happy.
Yeah.
All about the knitting.
All about the knitting. But it is an expression of happiness for both of us. But the form that it takes can be unique.
Yeah, like, and we get together and maybe we can skydive and knit at the same time, you know?
Oh, see, now that's next level.
No. Well, listen, next level, right?
Yes. Yes,
there we go. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, so the external, right? So if it's external, it's something that's given to be discovered. It's assigned by this higher, bigger element of us. And it both combines the universal and individual elements.
Okay.
Right? Okay, what if the source of purpose is internal? What if it comes from within?
Hmm. So to me, when I think about the source of purpose and I think about it being, you know, external, you know, something grand that I'm supposed to discover, almost like a mystery, and something in some way, there's something inherent about that kind of feels a little out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I consider, well,
a little
what
scary,
if,
maybe, right? Because what, yeah, if I miss it? Or what if I see it but I don't recognize it? Or what if I can't find it? Right.
Yeah. It's almost like it implies the possibility that I won't discover it. Like, mm-hmm. Whoops. Mm-hmm. Mess that one up. Yeah. But when it's to my point, when it's internal, to me, that feels lighter. And mm-hmm. for me, I think the reason why it feels lighter is because it feels like it's something that's more within my control on some level.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a choice that I get to make.
Mm-hmm. It's up to you to create it.
Mm. Yeah, which also feels fulfilling on some level. It's like, you know, when you, there's something fulfilling about consciously creating something. And I feel like this kind of falls into that category for me personally. When I mm-hmm. think about the source of meaning being, source of purpose being more internally derived or internally chosen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's something that it's up to you to create something you consciously choose on mm. as your purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would mean that it's assigned, you assign it to yourself.
Yeah.
As some kind of internal mission to fulfill, right?
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess in that sense would be a little more individual than collective, than universal, and based on what's important to that individual.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Kind of sounds like values.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about what are some common threads or elements, the consensus opinion about purpose.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because if you look, okay, so consensus opinion, the common thread, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, if you look out at the world and you look at what the examples of the expression of humanity that people point to and say, this is a really powerful example of a human being, like someone who did the human experience the right way, right? Mm-hmm. It's people like Gandhi. It's people like Martin Luther King Jr. It's people like Nelson Mandela. It's people like Mother Teresa. And the common thread of all of those people is this idea of service to others and service, living in service of an ideal that is greater than self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
So to boil that down, really, if we look at the common thread and element, on some level, it seems like purpose has something to do with service.
Mm-hmm. So include some form of service to others and living from a place that is bigger than just one's own self-interest.
Yes.
Which that implies contribution, like meaningful contribution.
Yes.
Of an individual to the universal, to the collective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because some people, some schools, when you start talking about, you know, what is the consensus opinion of what is the purpose of life, some schools will start talking about happiness. like, oh, like, you know, you're supposed to transcend suffering and get to this point where you exist in happiness. But I think really the wisdom traditions talk about how really happiness is part of the expression of service on some level. You want to explain kind of more about that?
So that would, again, depend on the definition of happiness. I think that often people think of happiness as no struggle.
Ah.
Right? That everything is just peachy. It's great. Or at least that there is lack of suffering.
Okay.
Right? And sometimes the causes of that can be really little. Like, and by little, I mean...
ice cream.
Well, ice cream, yes. That's one way. But the other one is also that it's very self-centered, self-focused, self-serving.
Okay,
right?
Yep.
So here I am in my little picketty fence, you know, house. And I created this little life for myself, and it's all great. And I stick to it, right? Mm. And I feel that if that's the definition of happiness, it definitely is nice, right? And pleasant. But I think that on the long run, it's short-lived.
Mm.
And creates much smaller picture.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, you know, let's say you acquired your billions or gazillions and you are a gazillionaire, and you feel like taking your private helicopter to the top of the mountain because you're sick of people and dealing with problems or whatever that is, right? And there you're off to your private island or your private volcano on the little helicopter sunset ride. Sure, it's lovely. It's beautiful. It's amazing to have this option, right? But if that would to turn into a week or a month, I think most people would agree that at some point you wish you had somebody to turn to and say, hey, look at this amazing sunset.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That there is definitely happiness, joy, fulfillment in sharing.
Yes.
In being able to share, in being able to interact, in a meaningful connection,
mm-hmm.
right? To somebody else, to something bigger, greater.
Yes.
And so in a sense, I feel like those two concepts, those common threads, the elements of the purpose, of different approaches, different definitions out there of purpose, they really overlap a lot. You know, that I don't think that when those some of the schools say, oh, your purpose in life is to be happy, they mean to eat whatever you want and, you know, have this perfect life, right?
Right.
With
right.
no struggles, no interference. I think that that definition of happiness comes more from the sharing, the interacting, the meaningful connections, which imply service.
Mm. Beautifully said. Yes.
Right. So they really are, to me, tightly woven together, the
yes.
happiness with the service.
Yes.
So I don't think that we have to pick, you know, the approach of like, okay, so what is it? Is the meaning of life happiness or is it service?
Mm-hmm.
But rather see how they intertwine together.
Yes.
How one, it's a loop. It's a feedback loop, I think, like.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think that they are tightly interwoven, as you said. True happiness. So the fulfilling, joyful happiness, not not the narrow, short-sighted, ego-derived happiness, but the true fulfillment, long-lasting, satisfying happiness is tightly interwoven with this idea of meaningful connection, sharing, interaction, and service to others and to something bigger than yourself.
And more of experiences, right? And how we lived the life rather than maybe what we did and what we acquired. You know, this famous, how people say, you know, when you die, you're not going to take it with you, right? You're not going to take your mansions and helicopters and millions with you. And as my friend, I love this example, so I'm going to totally use it, giving Tyson a credit. Tyson once made me laugh to tears by saying, have you ever met anyone who on the deathbed would say, man, this $80,000 that I spent on this sweet kitchen remodel in 1999, that was the accomplishment of my life. Not many, if any, right?
No, I think that's the last thing you're thinking about. That's you're not thinking about that in your deathbed.
Right, right. When you think of your life, you think, oh my gosh, did I love? Like Brendon Burchard says, did I love? Did I matter?
Did I make a meaningful contribution?
Yeah. So there, again, that ties the service to happiness. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's recap briefly here. So we're talking about purpose. We talked a little bit about the definition of purpose, kind of gave the Google search engine definition, and then talked about the question of, okay, is there purpose? And if so, what's the source of the purpose? Is it something internal? Is it something external? Is it a hybrid of both? And then we looked at what is the consensus opinion about purpose and talked about how, again, if you kind of look at the people that are held up as being examples of doing the whole human thing right, you know, what the common characteristics of them are, and kind of tied that together with this idea of service and this idea of expression. Okay, so bringing those together now, are we ready to talk about clues on how to discover purpose?
Yeah, let's talk about more down-to-earth kind of approach. Okay, so what does it all mean to me as an individual? Like how, what can I do with that? How can I implement it in my own life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like that we're calling this clues. Because I really think that, you know, whether you think that the source of your purpose is internal or external or a hybrid, I still don't think it's really something that another human can really declare for you or define for you. But I do think that there are clues that are universal that we can each look at within our own experience that kind of help us start to focus in on this inquiry and get clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So again, if the source of our purpose is internal, I think the clues are a little bit different than if it's external. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about external, and I'm going to have you talk a little bit about if the clues are internal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if the source is external, then the clues would come from going and looking for it. It's this idea that, you know, there's something to be uncovered. It's almost like a mystery that needs to be solved.
Like a treasure hunt.
A treasure hunt. Right. Precisely. Now, that just makes it sound like fun.
Mm-hmm. And it could be.
And it could be. Yes, it could be. And, you know, even though I just said, you know, that's not something any other human can define for you, I do think that it is something, if you believe that the purpose is external to you, I do believe it is something that another human could assist you in your journey to discover.
Oh, definitely.
So maybe you would consult with a healer, maybe a shaman, maybe you would take a journey using plant medicine. You know, maybe you would consult with a seer or a visionary or a mentor, or maybe, you know, some sort of religious figure, something along those lines, depending on what your belief system was. I think the basic idea being that it's something to look for, and there would be modalities that would be used to create additional clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to give you the clues, right? Just like in a scavenger hunt, you find one that uncovers another, and yes, they all connected, and it, a stepping stone to get to your destination, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What if the clue, what are some internal, some so-called internal clues to purpose?
Mm-hmm. Well, if we assign purpose to so-called internal source, then I feel like it's us who assigned our own meaning. Mm. And we make our own experience based on what's important to us, to our heart, what moves us, what inspires us, or what we are passionate about. Mm. And so that's more of the feeling part.
Uh-huh.
And then that combined with a set of gifts and skills and talents and abilities that we have.
Okay.
I think it was Einstein who said, you know, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb the tree, you're not going to know it's genius, right? There is a reason why we are different. Mm-hmm. We are not all meant to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, studies show that, yes, there is definitely benefit in improving on skills we are short in, but there is much more benefit mastering what we're already good at than trying to become good at something we are not good at.
Ooh, I like that.
Right.
I like that a lot. Okay. So what I'm hearing you say in the first part there is that looking at what we're passionate about, what moves us, what is important to us, what feels innately critical in some way to our experience, something that lights us up, something that inspires us, that's a clue to purpose. It's mm-hmm. something that we can tune into to help us get clearer on what our purpose is. And then what was the second part?
The second part was paying attention to our gifts and skills and talents and abilities that we are naturally equipped at.
Aha. That,
because we all have so-called strengths and weaknesses, right?
Yes.
And that's what I meant by, and I hope I'm quoting it right, I think it was Einstein who said that, you know, with the fish and a jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you put them in the same category and you're like, well, let's see, the brilliant one, the gifted one, or the chosen one is the one that climbs the tree.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, the jaguar is going to be the one that wins that.
Yep.
But if you change the category and say, okay, well, let's see which of those swims better or longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be the fish. So it's the criteria by which we make this distinction. And that's what I mean by the studies showing, yes, there is definitely improvement when we work on skills we're not as good at.
Okay.
But there is much more profit in focusing on what we're already good at. So in the case of the fish and the jaguar, let the fish do what it knows best and it's already good at and improve on those skills and leave the tree to the jaguar.
I like that. I like that. And I like the clarity that provides too. It's like, okay, there's a reason why I'm good at what I'm good at, which allows me to focus on my strengths rather than worrying too much about my weaknesses, particularly when I become aware that my strengths are clues as to my purpose. I feel mm-hmm. like having that clarity can help me focus more on my strengths and can encourage me to develop my strengths and can encourage me to be bolder in my expression of my strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it sets you up for a better start. It sets you up more for success, right? If you start from the point, okay, what am I naturally inclined to? What am I naturally good at?
Yes.
That comes easier to me.
Yes.
You know, and then build up on that.
Yes.
And another thing is, I don't know if you've heard this saying, it's by Rumi, what you seek, seeks you.
Ah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is that it's, again, a feedback loop.
Uh-huh.
So if we have interest in something or passion for something, there is a reason why we do.
Yeah.
You know, that in a way, it was meant for us. And it's to be explored.
To be explored. Yes.
If there is something you are driven toward, there is a reason why you are. Because not everybody is.
Right. So it's an invitation to go deeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an amazing clue.
Yeah.
It's a direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So clues as to purpose. When the purpose is so-called internal and we assign our meaning, we have the ability to really derive or create our meaning. It can be created by thoughtful engagement, thoughtful inquiry about, okay, what inspires me? What lights me up? What moves me? What's important to my heart? What am I passionate about? So that's one set of clues. And then another set of clue being, what are my gifts, skills, talents, and abilities? And I love the way you said this earlier. It's this idea of, what am I naturally advantaged in? What are my natural advantages that are unique to me? And then I think that to get even clearer on purpose is to combine those two sets of clues and to
see where they overlap. They find the place precisely. Of overlap, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How do I use my gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, my natural advantages, to create more of what lights me up, what inspires me, what's important to my heart, what moves me, what I'm passionate about? And I think that now I think we're starting to really knock on the door of purpose by asking questions like that. How do we combine these together to start to build additional clarity?
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes. So then if we use our internal hunches and passions and the longings of the heart and see how they overlap with what we inclined or talented in, right? What we able with ease, the gifts and skills we have. And then how do we choose to express it? Mm-hmm. Like you said, using this self-expression to expand further, to create more of what we already love in a meaningful way that leads to service again. Mm. And there we are, closing this loop, right?
Mm. Bringing it all together now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that leads to service again. And then anytime you provide any kind of fabulous, fulfilling service, it must lead to happiness, both your own and people who receive it.
Yes.
Right? And if that's the case, that naturally that must lead to thriving.
Ooh. Right. Absolutely.
Goosebumps moment.
Absolutely. Truth bumps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the full expression of your natural advantages, your gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, and you're using it to create more of what's near and dear to your heart, more of what you're passionate about in service to others in the world, to me, that sounds like thriving. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a powerful opportunity to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Feels like a full heart, full happy heart.
Beautiful. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Truth bombs.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so you mentioned, as for clues for a so-called external purpose, you mentioned the set of tools we may use to discover it. You said shaman or a healer or a mentor or medicine journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Healing modalities, Akashic records. For those so-called internal, I feel like those could be journaling, becoming yes. very clear, very insightful, carefully listening what's coming up, what mm-hmm. our intuition or our heart is whispering mm-hmm. to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be discovered through journaling, through mm-hmm. visualization, through mm-hmm. meditation,
yeah.
through asking meaningful questions,
mm-hmm.
Through asking yourself, for example, what excites me? What lights mm-hmm. me up? What brings me the most joy that mm-hmm. comes easy to me?
Yes.
That I tend to gravitate toward anyway. And I would love to do even if I wasn't paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yep.
And another way, another tool that could be used is feedback from people who are close to us and who knows us well. Or sometimes I feel like in general, feedback, you know, how we make certain impressions of people and yeah. people share and they would share with us, oh, you're really good at this. Oh,
yes.
This seems to come easy to you. And if you get enough of this feedback, you will notice that a lot of times it does overlap. People
yes.
maybe use different vocabulary, but they tend to tell you the same thing.
Yes.
Right? So that's yes. an important clue as well.
So one thing that I'm present to around that is being bold enough to ask for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I think bold is definitely the right word for this. But yeah, reaching out to people who are respected, whose opinion you trust, mm-hmm. and saying, asking them, say, from your perspective, what are my gifts, skills, talents, and abilities? Be a mirror for me. You know, help reflect mm-hmm. back to me through your unique perception what you see me naturally thriving at and
yeah,
with.
What my greatness is, right?
What is my greatness, yeah. And then I mm-hmm. think a component of this that immediately falls right into place once we start talking about that is, you know, it's so important. This is one thing I learned so powerfully from you, Violetta. It's so important to acknowledge the greatness that we see in others.
Mm.
And I think that in the context mm-hmm. of this conversation, it becomes clear why that is. We can actually, mm-hmm. we can actually help empower other people to discover their purpose by actively acknowledging the greatness that we see in them. You know, whether they're asking for it or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you know that's how styling came to me?
Hmm.
I would have never woke up in the morning and think, I think I'm going to be a stylist.
Ah.
It came to me through multiple repetitive feedback I was getting from both friends and strangers.
Okay.
People would comment on what I was wearing, you know, at the events I went to or a grocery store. People would ask me, would say, oh my gosh, I love it. Or people would say, oh my gosh, where did you get this?
Mm-hmm.
Or people would say, oh my gosh, I love what you wear. I love your style. I need you to come shopping with me.
Aha, yeah. Yeah, so.
And, or like people would say, oh, are you a stylist? Oh, well, you should be.
Aha.
And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it was something that always came easy to me. I love playing with this joyful self-expression of, you know, expressing yourself, myself through clothing and accessories.
Mm-hmm.
And since it came so easy to me, I just never really thought of it as a gift.
Mm.
You know, something like that is maybe not as easy to other people.
Mm.
And that they could be, you know, have this gift envy over,
mm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the feedback is so important, to ask for feedback, like you said, from people we trust, and also pay attention to what comes to us, mm-hmm. what people share with us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in that case, it was not solicited feedback. I didn't go out there and be like, hey, so how do you like what I'm wearing?
Right.
And at first I was dismissing it, you know, as like a isolated incident.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah, well. But then I was like, oh, here's another example of that. Wow, that seems to happen a lot. There's something to it, mm-hmm. right? Specifically when the question or the statement was made, oh my gosh, man, I need you to go shopping with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, that actually would be fun. Well, okay, let's schedule, right?
Mm.
Yes, so that definitely the feedback,
yeah.
both internal feedback, listening to it, and paying attention to the external feedback.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Okay.
Okay, are we ready for the invitation?
I think we are.
All right.
Yeah, I think we've done a good, I think we kind of laid out the inquiry here. You know, again, kind of tracing the clues, what is the consensus opinion? How what do we look for on the inside to kind of give us some ideas of how to get clearer? And then I think, you know, the tools, like we said, the journaling, meditation, looking at feedback from others, kind of tuning into what lights us up, what inspires us, what we're passionate about. Okay. And so then the invitation, I think it starts with picking a route or picking an approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, and I don't think there's necessarily one answer. I know we've kind of like asked a lot of questions in this conversation. I don't know if there's necessarily one answer. So I think maybe it starts with inviting, setting a clear and conscious intention to become clearer, to become, become present with one of the approaches, become clearer on it, to set the intention to connect to our clues in a way that expands our clarity on our purpose. And then I think also there's an invitation here to commit to doing and being more of what you are good at. So basically to a commitment to using your gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, that which you are naturally advantaged of, to create more of or to expand what you're passionate about, what's important to your heart.
Yes, to create more of that in the world. And it also, you know, it always starts with your world, but then of course it expands and adds on to the collective. Mm-hmm. I love it. Sounds like a fabulous journey of discovery.
Daily. It's always daily. Mm-hmm. It's always being connected to yourself enough to continually ask these questions. It's always about tuning into the importance and caring enough about your fulfillment, happiness, and joy to ask the questions that build the bridge to that state.
I love it. Beautifully said.
Okay. Awesome. Any final thoughts about purpose?
I feel complete. I think that's a very good frame.
Good frame. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good frame for
inquiry. And as you said at the beginning, it's such a broad topic. Mm-hmm. It's something that people spend lifetime on discovering, studying, researching, implementing, right?
Mm.
Huge task to take on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say for our purposes, I say I feel complete. How about you?
I think my final thought here on the idea of purpose, I just want to share from my personal experience. For me, I turned a corner when my perspective on purpose shifted from it being this grand thing that was outside of me that I had to search for and uncover. And it shifted more to this perspective of I have the opportunity to create more of what I'm passionate about. That felt much more in reach. And mm-hmm. this idea of it's up to me to assign the meaning, that felt so empowering to me. And again, I call it kind of turning the corner. And what I mean by that is when the purpose felt like it was outside of me, I was present to a lot of fear. Like, oh, am I going to miss
uncertainty.
Uncertainty and fear. Yeah. Is it going to zoom right by me and I'm not going to catch it? Mm-hmm. Am I going to miss it somehow? You know, and when I was able to tune into this space of, no, it's been here all along, and it's an expression. It's not a destination. It's an expression along the journey. For me, that helped me shift out of the perspective of fear, which gave me the courage to take more risks in the way that I express my joyful self-expression, my gifts, skills, talents, and abilities in service of my ideals, my values, of what's important to me, what's important to my heart.
I love that. Expression rather than destination.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
The turning point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And with that, I am complete.
Fabulous. Well, in that case, thank you. I love you. Stay tuned and come back for more soon.
Okay. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Till next time.
We hope you enjoyed this intentional creation. Find us on Instagram @art of intentional creation.